Coming up on today's show...
You know, I am convinced that this generation has a deeper hunger than I've seen in many years for prayer, maybe not to go to Mass, but to have a prayerful experience.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, the SiriusXM app, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net or .com. They'll both get you to the same place. Be sure that you have signed up there for the free Catholic Sports Radio e-newsletter that gets sent out every Monday. Social media for this show, Facebook, X, YouTube, and Instagram, all of which there are links for at the top of the website. I invite you to engage with me and the show through one or more of those. The Catholic Sports Radio community is the Facebook group whose members are both listeners and some past guests. There is no cost to join that. The quick way to find it is the big white button that is immediately below my picture near the top of the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. I really enjoy hearing from listeners. Social media, as well as the website, all give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. Is it time to move on from playing We Are the Champions by Queen in sports stadiums and arenas after championship games? I know that might be an unpopular thought, but bigger picture, have you stopped to consider how many championships are won around the world throughout one calendar year? North American pro sports leagues alone, Olympic championships, multi-sport games, regional tournaments, the list goes on. Everyone is so busy celebrating a win that ultimately is only going to last for, in some cases, 1 year, if you think in the context of a new baseball season or a new football season and many more. Instead, we have the opportunity to rejoice every day in what we have in our faith. It is not something that we have to nervously hope will be successfully defended 1 year later against an upstart opponent. It is a constant. In the New Testament, we read in Romans chapter 5, verse 2, quote, "We have gained access by faith to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in hope of the glory of the Lord." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest played basketball and softball in high school and also participated in archery. Present day, she serves in a role at Alvernia University, a private Franciscan university in Reading, Pennsylvania, where she works with the 38 varsity teams, including activities ranging from attending coaches' meetings to praying with teams before practices and games, and joining the bus with teams to offer support and prayer. On behalf of Alvernia Athletics, she also serves on the Thoughtful Assessment Group, and her goal is to continue to expand her work with student-athletes and across campus in order to support and minister to as many students as possible. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Sister Marie Cacciatore.
Well, thank you, Bruce. God is good, and I appreciate your welcoming me, and I'm happy to be here. Thank you for the invite.
Amen. My pleasure. Thank you. We've got a lot to cover today, so let's jump right in and start with having you tell us where you were born and raised, as well as what the family size was.
I was born and raised in Chester, Pennsylvania, actually in the front room of our row house, and I have two older brothers and two younger sisters. I'm right in the middle. And I think we're a pretty happy family. Anyway, if you ask the neighbors, they heard us enough. So.
Well, I know that you are a cradle Catholic, but just tell us what that looked like in the household you grew up in.
My parents were prayerful. Certainly, they were practicing Catholics. My mom, in fact, went to Mass every day. But it was a prayerful atmosphere. Once in a while, she even wrangled us in, and we had prayed together the family rosary. And although there was sometimes resistance, we all caved and actually were happy to do it with her.
And you did attend Catholic school, yes?
Yes, I attended our parish school. In fact, the parish was our social, our religious, it was our total life. And then I went to high school actually here in Reading, Pennsylvania. It was a kind of a convent boarding school. And then I went to Alvernia and then Villanova. In fact, my only public education was when I went for a degree in clinical and humanistic psychology at the Center for Humanistic Studies.
Wow. Yeah, I was scratching my head listening to you rattle off that list and thinking to myself, I think everyone that she just said is Catholic. That's amazing. So how about sports? I said in the intro that in high school you played basketball and softball and also participated in archery, but who and or what got you interested in getting involved in sports in the first place?
Well, sports were... like church, sports were an integral part of our household. In fact, we had a TV. I know this will sound strange to some, but when I consider I was very young, I was maybe just about going to be 6 years old, and we got a television. And at least on Sunday afternoons, it was dedicated to sports. My dad's favorite pastime was to watch anything athletic, boxing and baseball and football, whatever was provided. He seemed to draw the line on wrestling. I don't know why. My dad was participated in what then was considered semi-professional football for the Eagles. So we all kind of, in my family, I've heard the saying, we bleed green. So that's kind of true. Although I felt personally drawn to sports because I felt like I was always, I don't know why, but I always felt in good shape, and they looked like such fun, so I participated. I do want to clarify, though, my high school was a very small, as I said, girls' school, and most of our sports were intramural. And I have to add this, if some people know what half-court basketball is, six-on-six, two steps, two dribbles, you know, there were so many restrictions that people might think there was no fun in it, but there was great fun and enjoyment, and it was enthusiastically participated in. So even though it sounds kind of drab, it's not. You might want to try it.
Well, when I have a guest on who is a member of the clergy, I have to ask about the formation story, answering the call to devoting their life to serving the Lord. Tell us your story about becoming Sister Marie.
It started, actually, when I think of it, when I was five. The sisters from the parish used to walk around the blocks doing what was called the parish census. I was about four or five when I saw them, and I was mystified. You may not remember habits of sisters, clothing of sisters, but at that time, all I saw was their face and their hands, and I was greatly curious. But I let it go. I did, however, bend down to see that they had shoes, I remember, because they looked like they were gliding. But that was my first encounter with sisters. And then the grade school that I went to was staffed by the Bernadine Franciscan Sisters. And I don't know if it was a spiritual call, but I felt drawn to go to that high school. And then even though I was young and immature, and certainly in the spiritual life, forgive me, but I think of God pulling me. I have always felt pulled in the right direction. Praise be Jesus Christ for that. And I think that's what happened. So at 17, I entered. And my life's journey was partly trying to scratch at understanding spiritual life. And I threw myself into, I don't know if people realize, but sisters had to work for a living. And our living was teaching, and I threw myself into my teaching. And along the way, I had encounters with Christ, with God, that drew me into finally what I think, God help me, was a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, with his mother, Mary, and with God, my Father. So it still continues for me. I don't want to tell you how old I am, but it continues for me to be a journey and always an insight and always a lifting of my mind and heart to God. It's great. And if I could just say this, the environment that we're in sometimes mystifies me. Although I feel that we're the unique ones who are searching, I'm finding more and more in life, in our world, that search has never discontinued. It's never been disrupted. So I thank God for that, because that's part of my formation, that understanding.
Beautifully said. And I would submit that all of us are still searching. All of us are still growing. All of us are still discovering. And if we're not, then we need to start. And I also do want to go on the record as saying that, yes, I do know the time when they wore the habits, because Sister Teresa was the first principal when I attended St. Paul's School as a little boy, and then Sister Mary Martha was the principal after her, still at St. Paul's School, which I attended from kindergarten through eighth grade. So they wore the habits, and I might be dating myself, but I won't reveal my age either. So you started to mention, I want the audience to know, you taught elementary and high school students in Catholic institutions for decades, plus you served in spiritual formation roles across multiple high schools, often working closely with students involved in athletics and extracurriculars. Where were these assignments? What did the work with the student athletes look like? Give us some insight on some of that.
Well, in one of the schools, I spent the last 37 years in Michigan, except for last year when I was here at Alvernia. And in one school, I was activities director, and it involved also being at most of our varsity games and even our freshman games and junior varsity. So I became very involved and learning about each of the sports and meeting with and cheering on the students. As activities director, I was at every activity, and
wow.
I think at 10 dances a year. And truthfully, it was great fun. And the encounters that I had, and then I'll move on to the next high school, an all-boys Catholic high school, where I was a counselor and then eventually became freshman counselor, because our principal decided that the freshmen were in greatest need of, you know, of kind who, it's a hard year adapting to high school. It's a hard year. And many of them were athletes. In fact, I would ask, why did you come to Brother Rice High School? And they would say lacrosse. Or why did you come to Brother Rice High School? Well, basketball. So it definitely was an integral part of our life there. In fact, that school had a reputation of being a jock school. It's inappropriate, because all day long these guys are studying madly because they want to be a success, but all afternoon and all night and even early in the mornings they were athletes. And the concerns of athletes, I think, are the same no matter what academic level. The stresses of being a fine athlete and being a fine student and having a social life, and then in there is God. You know, somewhere in there is God. Not only to be called upon before a game, because as you well know, Bruce, God does not choose the winner. You know, so the Catholic school across town is praying to the same God to win. So I never went in there. I used to speak to them about the talents God gave them and how to be the best with those talents and to use them and to develop the skills. I mean, remember the story of the talents. You don't go and bury the talent. You go and you develop it. You do all the weight room exercises in the mornings for swimmers, the dry lands. And I think that my whole attitude about, for example, jock school or something like that is kind of a ridiculous notion, you know, because schools, Catholic schools, and I think public schools want to develop that whole person. And I think of Saint Irenaeus, okay? Irenaeus said, I'm going to change one word in it, but he said, the glory of God is a person fully alive. And the word that he had in there was man fully alive, so forgive me, but a person fully alive. And I think that is so true, because you're developing not just your mind, you're developing your body, and you're developing a power of the mind and the spirit to want to achieve. You know, as you said in the beginning there, you said, how do you celebrate a victory when it's gone in a year?
That's
you know,
right.
The trophy's there, it has a date on it, and it's finished.
Yep.
But the development, I think, of an athlete is never finished, just like with us. But they have one leg up. I think there's an expression like that. And it means that they know in a real fashion, in a very real fashion, about trying your hardest and not finding the success at that moment that you want. It didn't mean you didn't achieve, though. You know what I'm saying? I'm sorry, again.
Yeah. No, I like what you're saying, because you're saying that they're not there just to be developed as an athlete. They're also there to be developed as a student. They're also there to be developed as a son of God. And all of that is ever evolving. We're always learning academically. We're always growing closer to the Lord. If you are someone who sticks with it and stays in the weight room, you are always developing yourself further as an athlete. And audience, you heard Sister say, Brother Rice High School, she was there for 19 years. And she mentioned, I come here for lacrosse. I'm going to get back to lacrosse in just a second. But you heard me say in the intro about what Sister Marie's goal is relative to student athletes. I want to have her tell us, though, about how women's sports have evolved since her time as a student athlete. And as she continues to talk about Alvernia University being a Franciscan university, do please remember that when it comes to your finances, with Alliance Catholic Credit Union, you can manage your money from your phone anytime, anywhere. Their mobile app allows you to add accounts, move money as needed, and deposit checks. You can pay others with Zelle and use Apple Pay or Google Pay to securely make payments on the go. Safe, secure, Catholic. Can your bank say that? Visit AllianceCatholic.com and put your money where your faith is. Federally insured by NCUA. Be sure to tell them, of course, that you heard about them on Catholic Sports Radio. Incidentally, I hope that you all know that last week's edition of Catholic Sports Radio was a special episode of sorts, in that it was also made available on video. It is up on the @CathSportsRadio, C-A-T-H, the @CathSportsRadio official YouTube channel. You will see me interviewing Sophie Risk for episode 338. She was on her way, here we go, to go play for the U.S. Women's National Lacrosse Team, and she was fresh off her second of back-to-back NCAA Women's Lacrosse Championships with the University of Tampa. That was quite different, getting to sit on set and have cameras rolling. What the athlete did not know, however, was that I had to pay $100 plus tax to rent that space to record the interview. That is one of the big reasons why it is a one-time-only thing, and I will not be doing video regularly, even though that's right here in Tampa Bay. Granted, it is also more than 45 minutes one way from my house. But the point is, I just don't have the financial resources to do things like that. This is a ministry for me. There is no staff, no interns, no budget. I don't even get any income for doing this show, which means that when it comes to any and all expenses associated with operating Catholic Sports Radio on and off the air, I have to try to find some way out of my own pocket to cover them. As a result, my prayer is that you see value in what I'm doing each week. You like the show. You believe in this ministry. It's helping your faith life, and you wish to show your support. I ask you to prayerfully consider Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing. On CatholicSportsRadio.net, you can utilize the blue Donate to CSR button. That method is fast, easy, and secure, and will allow you to use a credit card, debit card, or even PayPal to electronically send in a contribution. Alternatively, since I know some people don't like putting payment information on the internet, you can get in touch with me through social media, the website, or email for details on sending a check through the mail. Bruce@CatholicSportsRadio.net is how you can write to me. And then regardless of which method you use, the blue Donate to CSR button on the website or mailing me a check, with your permission, I will happily say your name on the air on an upcoming episode of the show as a public thanks, or as some have directed me to do, you can ask to remain anonymous. I'm grateful for your considering Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing as I continue working to move more people closer to Christ through the mix of faith and sports. Sister Marie, what about it? How have women's sports evolved since your time as a student athlete?
It was such a secondary thing. Women's sports, so secondary to anything that their male counterparts were doing. And by the way, that even was limited. There was very little. You would never hear of women's wrestling unless it was some kind of joke or, you know, buffoonery.
Wow.
So here we have women's wrestling. You wouldn't hear even of, you know, when you speak of televising, you're not going to be televising women's sports when you have all these men's sports that are so dynamic and the teams became so well known. Women's sports were very slow in coming to the forefront. And I really, if I could name them, they're kind of the holy ones of the athletic world that took the time to so hone their sport that they began to be noticed. I think back to, if I might, Immaculata, you know, Immaculata in Philadelphia. Their women's basketball team went to nationals. They became, at least in the Philadelphia area, they became the women gurus of women's sports. And it didn't stop there, thanks be to God. I used to love, actually, at the high school, one of the high schools where I was in Michigan, I used to love to watch the girls play. They were as intent as the young men, and it was a serious matter to them.
Mm.
And they, like any athlete, always wanted to improve, always wanted to get better. And sometimes the guys would gel, I noticed, very well, became like a family unit, but it seemed like every women's sport, and please don't think I'm prejudiced, it's just my observation, they seemed like they often gelled more quickly and more firmly. And I think women's sports have been a big boon to, I don't want to say the women's movement, because I don't even mean it like that. I mean about what men can do, they should do to their best, and what women can do, even sports, they should do to their best ability. And I think, as I said, that's the glory of God, you know, doing your very best. And so women doing their very best brought women's sports into the limelight, even on television. And the Olympics played, I think, a part of that, too. So I am grateful for the women who pushed and the men who pushed to have women's sports as an important part of the Olympics. Here's the thing again. Even though my high school didn't have interscholastic, there were some high schools around us that did have that interscholastic, but it was, as I said, it might have been in basketball, it might have been in softball, it might have been in volleyball, but I don't, in my recollection, there was nothing beyond that, you know, and it was limited. It was limited. You didn't have a whole season, this whole enormous season.
Yeah.
You didn't travel on the high school over to the next state or anything like that. It was very limited. But it's come a long way, praise God, yes.
Indeed, indeed. I was just going to say, look at how far we've come with things like the WNBA, things like how the Women's College World Series gets such great coverage on ESPN. If you think of the Olympics and things like gymnastics and swimming and how popular the women's disciplines are in those, it is light years from what you described. I want to start digging, though, instead into Alvernia University and your role there. You were appointed, I believe just 1 year ago, by former athletic director Bill Stiles to what was a newly created position focusing on athletic mission integration. I think there's a potential teaching moment here in that, as excited as I'm sure you were, this was a new role, meaning there was no blueprint to follow. The expression pray about it is so, so commonly used, but I feel we can probably learn from you and what you went through as you prepared to step into this role, as I'm sure you were very prayerful asking for the Lord's guidance. So just take us through that period of when you started into this role.
Well, you're absolutely right. God heard me crying on his shoulder, saying, Lord, what are you doing? Did you think about this, God? Of course, I was told, pray about it. But I don't know how to explain this, but with that heavy heart coming in my own inadequacy, I should have realized, if God is sending me, it's going to be fine. And it was. Especially, I thank Bill Stiles. And the athletes and the coaches at Alvernia, they were beyond welcoming. And I came as a prayer. And I mean that as a person, as a prayer. That's how I told God, that's how I'm going. I'm going as a prayer. And God received it, and he put me into positions to be able to unite with the athletes in prayer many times and many different teams. Not all, because I did have one condition that I stipulated for myself. I go where I'm invited. I didn't have the courage to go into situations where I was going to be disturbing their peace, in the sense that here I am. Here's this Bernadine sister all of a sudden showing up. So I didn't do that, but I was invited to so many. And it was a joy. And I would try to begin every prayer in thanksgiving to God by taking that deep breath, because God's first gift to the human family was breath. And it used to kind of calm me and assure me that this prayer will truly be in praise of God, because I think every word that we speak that praises God originates with God. And so I felt calm. And the athletes, you know, I am convinced that this generation has a deeper hunger than I've seen in many years.
Wow.
For prayer, maybe as a Catholic, maybe not to go to Mass, but to have a prayerful experience, to understand God's word. It's been a profound thing for me.
Wow.
To see it, to feel it, to know it, and to experience it in a real way. And they're welcoming. And I really mean that. I was touched many times by how I was embraced by teams of men and women who just were ready. They're ready. They were ripe for prayer. So thanks be to God. God be praised for that. That was a blessing for me, and I don't even know how to explain the joy that I experienced in realizing that God did not send me into a barren desert. Even though I knew nothing, everybody knew what they needed, and it is praising God. Really.
And so, twice in there, you used the word welcoming, and that reminds me of the story in the Bible, right, where Jesus tells them to go to the door, and if they're not welcomed in, then to shake the dust off their feet and move on to the next house. So you kind of took that advice, you took that direction from the Lord and said, I want to go to the teams that will welcome me. I don't want to go. And it's not that they wouldn't welcome you, but I can understand the spirit with which you're saying that, of them going, oh, well, I guess we got to kind of include her somehow and let her do some kind of prayer
exactly.
thing. So that's when you shake your feet off and go, no. I don't want to disrupt what y'all are doing here. Let me move on to the next team. And in fact, at the start of this show each week, the audience hears me doing my ministry moment. And Sister Marie with Alvernia Athletics, you do something called mission moments. Tell us what those are.
Well, I found a little bit of the history of mission moments. It was begun by two staff members who knew that in the very beginning, the sisters prayed before every class. If they were present at an athletic event or if they were having their own meetings, they always paused, remembered God's presence, and began with a prayer or a reflection or silence. And these two staff members kind of were caught up in that we should continue that they felt, I guess, and again, I'm doing this from hearsay, that it wasn't happening, and they would have liked to have seen it continue on Alvernia's campus. So they bought bags of M&Ms, and they gave them out, I understand, and people were enjoying them, and they were saying M&M, and they reintroduced, I guess, this idea of a reflection, a prayer, a silent moment, and they named them mission moments. And so when I see an M&M now, I immediately think of mission moments. And they are the beginning of any of our activities at Alvernia.
Wow.
I believe it's pretty unique to Alvernia that I know of anyway. So yes, that's mission moments.
In fact, while we're there, I think there's a tendency for people to hear about praying before a game and think, oh, they're asking God to bless them with a victory. But you, in fact, sister, emphasize prayer for other outcomes, not victory.
Absolutely. Prayer always praying that I'm doing my best, that you're doing your best at keeping the other team and yourself healthy, making sure that the fans have a good time, always with the other thought, the other, think of the other, because then you're not disappointed. If you go in and you're asking for a win, I'm telling you, God's not watching his television to see you win. He's watching to see how you're growing, how the world, how his children are growing. So to be mindful of your opponents, to be mindful of your coach and the referees. I think that's all a part of our mission moment before any kind of athletic event, you know? Mm. And it's an important part of the Christian, the Catholic life, any religion. It's that growth and the growth of your brothers and sisters. Francis brought along everyone as brother and sister, and that's kind of what we want to do here, I think.
Wonderfully said. Wonderfully said. Let's close by having a little fun. Last week, Tuesday, July 22nd, the defending Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles reported for training camp as teams start work for the upcoming 2025 season. Sister Marie, you mentioned it at the start of the conversation. That's your team. So let's hear about your Philadelphia Eagles fandom.
Well, as I said, it initiated in our house very early on. I watched both Super Bowls. In fact, I was at the one, I think it was 2017, if my memory serves me. I was a little bit upset that the announcers on national television kept on referring to the other team despite the winningness of the Eagles. So I'll just say that. And I know we had our secondary quarterback, but he was great. You know, he was great. We won. So I'll just say that. And then this last one, and I don't think people give our quarterback, listen to me, I'm calling him our, the Eagles quarterback, the credit and the running backs that they deserve. They're really a very fine team. I don't know what it is. I think he doubts himself. You know, I shouldn't say that. Maybe he doesn't. But I hate to see, you know, negative thoughts can be damaging. And so I hope, and I'm praying that the Eagles can banish in their own minds, in their own hearts, negative thoughts about themselves. They're a winning team, and they should march ahead as that winning team. Winning not because they have a Super Bowl ring. Winning because they did their very best. Despite predictions, despite anything else, they did their very best. And I think that's where we applaud, you know. They gave glory to God by doing their very best. So that's my thing on the Eagles.
And for the record, their head coach, Nick Sirianni, is Catholic.
Oh, okay. Well, I believe that certainly as long as you're doing your very best in life, which I think is the baseline for any success, doing your very best. And we don't always do our very best, me included. I mean, my life, if I can tell you a story, my life, I thought of it this morning. One of the sisters said to me, what was my favorite subject? And I said it was math because I'm a little dyslexic and I found reading and writing a little difficult. And she said, "You're really?" And I said, yes. I remember when I was in the fourth grade, the teacher, Sister Sharon, she held up a paper. There were 58 of us. And the paper really looked like somebody, I mean, erasing marks. You know how the eraser makes those dark marks? In fact, it had a hole in one place. It was just terrible. And she's holding it up. She said, this is the highest score in the class, and I can't hang it up. Look at this paper. It was mine. I was so embarrassed. But I'm telling you, I'm a woman full of mistakes and errors, but God is so good to me. And I think God is good to all of us despite our mistakes. And athletes will make mistakes just like the rest of us. And it doesn't mean it's over, because I think to myself, and I remember it, she said the highest score. So I kept on trying to think that instead of hiding my head. So I think we can't hide our heads. We have to go ahead, mistakes or not, and do our very best, then God is so pleased. Mm. God our Father, He's pulling us onto His lap all the time.
Oh, what a tremendous way to close. And audience, you know that whenever I have a guest on who's a member of the clergy, that I always defer to them for the closing prayer. Sister Marie, before I do that, let me formally say thank you so much. I appreciate your time. It was great to have you on Catholic Sports Radio. And if you would please close us out with a prayer.
I'd be happy to, Bruce. Thank you. And so I ask all of us, our audience, and you and I, Bruce, to take a deep breath, remembering that God our Father gave us breath. Lord our God, we thank you for life and for all that it brings. We ask you today and every day to give us the grace to find joy in doing our very best, even in the worst of times. Despite everything, we know that you are pulling us into the cradle of your arms, and that eventually we will return your embrace in great glory. We make this prayer through the merits of Jesus, our loving brother. Amen.
Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, X, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.